Our Father in heaven, we come to you. Not in our merits, not in our worthiness, not in our name, not according to what we deserve. Lord, we come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Father, I pray that above all things, you would honor yourself in our midst this evening. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would remove the veil of any here who have been blinded by Satan, and they do not see your glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Oh, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would brood over unregenerate and unborn-again hearts. I pray that you would cause life to be where there was death, even as you did in Brent's life one day. I pray that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ would not be mocked, but I pray that it would be held in high regard. I pray that every heart here would know what it means to believe with saving faith in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, our living Lord. Lord, help me to do what I cannot do on my own. Lord, help me to preach the Word of God authoritatively and with power. Lord, I come to you humbly and I ask as a beggar that you would give me the precise words I need to say. And more importantly, you would drive your Word deep into the hearts of every person sitting here. Lord, you can do this. You alone must do this. Lord, I pray that it would be a great day of celebration. Help us, Lord, to praise you with all that is within us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I'm basically going to explain baptism under 4 points. The first is why we do it. The second is what it symbolizes. Thirdly, what it promises. And fourthly, how we do it. What is the mode? Firstly, as you will probably hear in Brent's testimony, the reason that we baptize is not to be religious. We do it out of obedience to the living Lord's command. If you have a Bible and you're familiar with it, turn to the Gospel of Matthew, the very last chapter. If you don't know your Bibles well, Matthew is the first book of the New Testament. So just follow until you find Matthew. The top of it will say Matthew 28. I'm going to read verses 16 down to 20. I'm not going to give a detailed explanation of it, but I want you to see the reason we baptize is because Christ, as the risen Lord, commands us to. And how foolish it would be to be disobedient to God's command. If you found it, let me read along with you. I'm reading the ESV, the Pew Bibles, the NIV. There's not going to be a huge discrepancy. So follow along to the best of your ability. Verse 16, Matthew 28. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, though some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, make disciples of all nations, going, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you, lo, even to the end of the age." This is a command given not just by Jesus Christ, but the risen and exalted Jesus Christ. Now, if you were to read the Bible, especially in Paul's letters, you would understand that Christ was always king. He came into this world as a king, but especially so, he was vindicated and declared by God Almighty as king in his resurrection. God accepted Christ's sacrifice by raising him from the dead, and according to Philippians 2, because of Christ's resurrection, he has now been bestowed with the name that is above every name, the name Lord. Now, you might think, what does Lord mean? Is it just some kind of master? Yes, exactly. That's what it is. Jesus Christ is Lord of heaven and of earth. He is Lord of lords and King of kings. And so you need to understand, this isn't just a good man giving 11 apostles a command. This is the living and resurrected and ascended King of the universe, declared to be so by the Spirit of holiness. And he's giving them an imperative. That's fancy language for a command. And I just want to show you what the one command is. If you're a Christian, you need to take heed to this very seriously. He has one thing to say, and Matthew closes his gospel narrative with a command. Go and make disciples. Really, it's one command. Make disciples. And making disciples has three aspects to it. In the Greek or in English, you would call it participles, which modify. So Jesus says, I have all authority. I've been risen from the dead. God the Father has given me everything. It's mine. The universe is mine. Go now. Because everything is Christ's. He is Lord of everything. And so we need to go, but we also need to baptize. And you would think, why would Jesus command us to baptize the nations? Because baptism shows that one has submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Basically, what baptism says, when Brent gets baptized, he is saying this, Christ has commanded it, and I'm submitting my life to His Lordship. Jesus Christ is now my King. Not just mom and dad, not just the Prime Minister, not even the pastor. Jesus Christ calls the shots in my life. And I show everybody. I show my unbelieving friends and or family. I show my believing friends and or family. I show my church that I am submitting myself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And as foolish as baptism seems, Christ commands us to do it. Why? That we might show the world that we are His and belong to Him. That's Matthew's main emphasis. It's the kingdom of heaven. And Christ's last commandment has to do with the kingdom of heaven. We go and we make disciples. How do we make disciples? We tell them that Jesus Christ reigns. And that if you trust in Him and confess your sins, you will be saved. It will be a reign of grace. Christ will reign over you as the new creation. And you show that by being baptized. And you show it by submitting to His teachings and obeying Him. So why do we baptize Brent? Why do we baptize anybody? Because Christ, the risen Lord, commands us to. Secondly, what does baptism symbolize? Is it just some guy getting wet? Why would we do that? What? There's a million other things that we could do, right? Well, I want to show you the richness of baptism and what it really symbolizes. Basically, it symbolizes what the Bible calls the new birth. And that might sound funky to you. And if it does, turn, if you're still in Matthew, just turn three books over to the Gospel of John, the third chapter. If you've sat in a church pew long enough, you've heard of this story. This is Jesus' account with the teacher, the top dog of Israel, a man named Nicodemus. He had a lot of pomp, a lot of sway. He knew the Old Testament quite well. And he came trying to flatter the Lord Jesus Christ, and Christ calls him on it. John chapter 3, talking about the new birth. If we're baptizing Brent and it symbolizes the new birth, it's imperative for me to show you what the new birth looks like from the lips of Jesus Christ. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to Him, Rabbi, or teacher, we know that You are a teacher come from God. For no one can do these signs that You do unless God is with them. It's pretty flattering. That would make me feel good. And notice what Jesus says to him. He gets to the heart of the issue. And for you this evening, this is the heart of the issue. This is what your eternity is sort of hinging upon. This statement Jesus makes. When you stand before the living God on judgment day, and you try to impress Him, He's going to say one thing. Have you been born again? Jesus answered, verse 5, truly, truly, it doesn't get more serious than that. Amen, amen. I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, sorry, verse 3, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, or born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. And so here's the language of rebirth. Let me put it into a nutshell for you. Everybody is born into this world naturally. That's how you came from your mother. You were born of the flesh. Jesus says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Nicodemus, you're still of the flesh. And the reason you don't understand my teachings and you don't understand who I am, Nicodemus, is because you have not been born again. You have not been born from above. You have not been born from spirit-water. And you would think, what does that mean? What does it mean to be born of water and spirit? Well, I want to show you quickly what Jesus is thinking about here. A lot of people would say that obviously the water is the first natural birth. You're born of water. Water gushes out. The water breaks. Any of you who have had children, you know. That's what happened when Elisha was born. The doctor burst her water, and then she came out afterwards. That's a possible explanation. You're born naturally, and then you're born of the Spirit. I don't think that's what Jesus means. You see, in the Old Testament, Nicodemus, who was a Jew, a rabbi, he should have known this. There are two symbols that God often used to speak of rebirth or regeneration or renewing the creation, renewing the kingdom of Israel, renewing God's kingdom. There were two that he often used. The one was water and one was breath. So I'm going to turn to Isaiah 44. You don't have to turn there. I don't want to preach too long to you, but I just want to show you. In Isaiah chapter 44, verses 3 to 5. Speaking of the end times when God would restore His creation. I'll start in verse 1. But now, hear Jacob, my servant, Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus says the Lord, who made you. So there's the language of creation. Who formed you from the womb and will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For this is why you're not to fear. This is why you're not to be afraid. I will pour my text, and the Hebrew text says water, on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. And so you're thinking, okay, that's just like watering a plant. Notice the parallelism in the next clause. I will pour my Spirit upon your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. And what Isaiah is saying in this text, you are dead and you're withered. Israel, you're done. You're like a plant that hasn't been watered in a while. You've died. But a time is coming. A time is coming when I will revive you. Just as you pour water onto a plant that is languishing and it sort of perks up, I am going to pour my Spirit upon you. And you will be renewed, revived, regenerated, reborn. That's the language of water as a metaphor for the renewing work of the Holy Spirit. And so basically Jesus is saying, you must be born again from the Holy Spirit. You must be born from above. You must be born of God. Now, turn a couple books over to the book of Ezekiel. Not a favorite book, I can grant you that, but it's the Word of God, and it's very rich for New Covenant language. Ezekiel chapter 37. In the 36th chapter, we talk of a new heart and a spirit that comes to dwell within us. But in the 37th chapter, look in verse 9. I'll start in verse 7. Sorry. So I, Ezekiel, prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no ruach, that's the Hebrew, there was no wind, no breath, no spirit in them. Then he said to me, God, prophesy to the breath, to the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceeding great army. So not only does the water symbolize the renewing work of the Holy Spirit when Christ would come with the Holy Spirit, so also does breath, spirit, wind, especially in the book of Ezekiel. If you were to read that whole chapter, there's this valley of dry bones. And Ezekiel's freaked out because there's bones laying everywhere. And they're dry, exceedingly dry. They've been there for a long time. They've been dead a good long time. And those bones represent the nation of Israel, God's people. And God says to Ezekiel, just so you know, Ezekiel, there is a time coming when I will revive, when I will regenerate, when I will give rebirth to my people, my covenant people. And I will do it with breath. Isaiah said, I'm going to do it with water. I'm going to pour my spirit on them as water waters the ground. Ezekiel said, it's going to be like breath, wind blowing from the four corners. And what's going to happen? These bones are going to come back to life. An exceeding great army. And so Jesus is using this analogy for Nicodemus. Hey, you should know the Old Testament, old man. You've been studying it. Do you not understand that God has prophesied of a time when he will give new birth to his chosen people through water and through breath? And you must be born again. You must be born again from above, which is paralleled. You must be born of water, spirit. And my question is, have you been? Brent is evidence that he has been born from above. The Holy Spirit is manifesting its fruits in Brent's life. Brent is a new creation. He's been reborn. As you're going to hear his testimony, the things he used to do, he don't do them anymore. That's what happened to me 8 years ago when I was running around doing stupid things in university with my punk friends. And God seized me and I was born from above by water and breath or water and spirit. And just like a newborn baby is born into the world as a new creation, so was I born spiritually a new creation. Do you see the analogy? You are dead and you must be born again to enter into the kingdom of heaven, into the kingdom of God. And I'll sort of burst it, you're born again by believing in Jesus Christ, all that he is, and repenting of your sins in light of who he is. So it symbolizes the new birth given by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to turn to Titus. I told Brent I was going to preach 15 minutes, but I don't think that's possible. Titus is in the New Testament, and I'll just read you how Paul is picking up on this language of rebirth and how he ties baptism into it. Just so you know, in Paul's mind as you read him, to be born again and not be baptized is an anomaly. It's irreconcilable. To say you're a Christian and you've not been baptized does not gist with Paul's mind. The two are one and the same in the book of Acts. Repent and be baptized. Believe and be baptized. But let's see what he says in Titus chapter 3. In verse 3, he talks about the old life. This is like Nicodemus. This was me 8 years ago. This was Brent a couple years ago before God intruded his life with his sovereign spirit. This is what those who are born according to the flesh look like. And if you are not a believer in Christ by faith alone, I am going to give you an accurate depiction of what you are today. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves. I'm no slave. The Bible says you're a slave. Slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. Now look in verse 4. Contrast. But when the kindness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, no, rather he saved us according to his own mercy. And this is what I want you to pick up on. He saved us by his own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The NIV translates verse number 5, the washing of regeneration, this way. Let me find it here. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and by the renewing of the Holy Spirit. And so Paul is picking up on this. How are you saved? If you're a Christian, how are you saved? You always say, oh, by faith. But what does it look like? You were washed. You were once covered in filth. You were like a pig that's just been playing in the mire. You're dirty and detestable in the eyes of a holy God. But God's grace came into your life. And the Holy Spirit, who is symbolized by water in the Old Testament, as you're going to see here, did a washing. An outward washing? No. An inward cleansing. And that's what it means to be born again. It means to have a new heart. It means to have a new disposition, a new mind that does not hate God. If you hate God, that's evidence that you've never been born again. If you find it difficult to obey God and His commands, I will say this, you're probably not born again. If you are led astray, disobedient, slaves to your passions, the Bible says you've not been born again, but God is merciful and He can cause the vilest sinner, me, to be washed. The ESV translates it, washing of regeneration. The word for washing, lutron. It literally means bath. So kids, just as, you know, Elisha, she's my little daughter, sometimes she gets filthy. And we need to give her a good soaking, a good bath. So is every single person born into this world. You need a good bath, but not in water. You need a good bath inwardly, by the renewing work of the Holy Spirit. Just as He made all things in Genesis chapter 1. Just as He created the original cosmos. Just as He created all things into being. So the Holy Spirit does that within. And only those who have been born again know what I'm talking about. This is foolishness to you if you're not born again. And the Bible declares it. Because you are carnal. Until you are born again, you will not understand how beautiful baptism is. So baptism is showing us that Brent, we believe, has been washed. He's been made new. He's been renewed by the Holy Spirit. So why do we do it? Christ commands it. Christ declares that Brent is His. And we declare that Brent is His by baptizing him. Brent submits to the Lordship of Christ by being baptized. What does it symbolize? The new birth. And if it's still a little bit blurry, if I'm still speaking in riddles and parables to you, please come and see me. I would love to spend whatever time it takes to show you, to clarify the necessity. Jesus, you must. Very powerful word. You must be born again, or you will never enter into God's kingdom. What does it promise? Turn to Romans 6. Brent, your testimony has now been reduced to 30 seconds. Please tarry with me a little longer. This is for everybody who has professed Jesus Christ and been baptized. This is not just a charge to Brent. This was a charge to me, as Brent and I talked about this 2 weeks ago. Romans chapter 6. What does it promise? It promises holy living. Baptism promises holy living. And you're going to think, whoa, that doesn't sound right. Well, bear with me as I read the first 11 verses of Romans chapter 6. I'll start in chapter 5, verse 21. As sin reigned in death, grace also now reigns through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? This is what some people were saying to Paul. You're saying that God saves us guilty sinners by grace? We don't have to do anything? And Paul says, exactly. And as vile a sinner as you are, God is greatly glorified in forgiving you of your sins. And then they say, ha ha, let's glorify God then by sinning more so He can be glorified through forgiving more sins. And Paul's going to use baptism as an argument against that kind of thinking. Some people that I've talked to, they say, good, I can become a Christian. God promises to forgive me of my sins. Now I can live in as much sin as I want and still go to heaven. Paul says, absolutely not. In the language of Titus, he says, the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us. Training us to do what? Renounce ungodliness and worldly passions. And to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, awaiting our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from what? All transgressions, all lawlessness, and to purchase for Himself a special people who are zealous to do good works. And so the Christian message is this: God saves you freely by His grace. He saves you from your sin. He doesn't save you for your sin. And so if you want to become a Christian, you can't say, I want to live in sin. Incompatible. As we heard this morning, you can't have your cake and eat it too. God demands holiness because He is the epitome, the very essence of holiness. So that's Paul's argument. By no means are we to sin more that grace may abound. How can we who died to sin live in it? There's the language of rebirth. You're dead to something and you're alive to something in Christ. You're dead to sin and you're alive to righteousness. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? And so when Brent goes down into the waters, which in the Jewish mind also signified death, that's why Jonah was freaking out, if you've read Jonah. The waters to the Jew, not cool. God's judgment. So as Brent goes into the water, that's symbolizing that he has died to death. We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, Brent, you might too walk in newness of life. Walter, Marvin, your wives, myself, everybody here, where's us who are believers? Christ died, and you were baptized into His death, and you were baptized into His resurrection for one purpose: that you might walk in the newness of life that is in Christ. Not to walk in sin. Not to bring shame upon Christ. He didn't die for you to bring shame upon Him. He died so that you might walk in the newness of the Holy Spirit. Verse 5, for if we have been united with Him in a death like His, baptism, death, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. We know that our old self, Brent, I didn't know you 2 years ago. Didn't know you even over a year ago. I don't know how you were. Your parents might be able to validate. You're a wretch inside, Brent. As good as you used to look and used to put on your clothes and smile. You were miserable and you were a sinner by birth. And so is everyone who's born into this world. Brent, we know that your old self was crucified with Christ in order that your body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that you would no longer be enslaved to sin. So baptism promises holy living. This is what the Bible says in the previous chapter. You're born in Adam. He's not just some myth. He's the first man God created. And Adam sinned. And Adam passed his sin on to everybody who was born after him. All of his children, which includes everybody in this room. And the Bible says that in Adam we are dead in our sins and our trespasses. But it says the moment that the Spirit makes us new, it says that the body of sin is brought to nothing and we're no longer enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. You know what salvation is? Death and life. Brent died. And you say, no, he's right beside me here. How could he have died? He died to sin. Because Jesus Christ rose from the dead to break the power of sin in Brent's life. For one who has died has been set free or justified from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. What does it mean to live with him? To sit on clouds and strum harps? Maybe. Not according to Paul. We know that Christ being raised from the dead will never die again. Brent, you will never die again. And you say, yes, he will. Brent, you will never die again spiritually. Your body will die. You will live forever in Christ. If you're not in Christ, you will die. It's called the second death. It's called hell. The lake of fire. Burning with sulfur and brimstone. For the death that Christ died to sin once for all, the life he now lives, he lives to God. That's our charge. Brent, this is what baptism is saying to you. The life you now live, Christ gave himself for you, Brent, so the life that you now have in Christ might be to God for his glory. Or in the language of Ephesians 1, to the praise of his glorious grace. So you must consider yourselves also dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let me just sum up what I've read. The Bible says that because we are sinners and we're in Adam by nature, we cannot please God. We cannot. So chapters 5 is saying to us, chapter 6 is saying, you need God's power to live for God. And Paul's saying, God sent Christ into this world so you might live for him. I want to live a good life. You can't. You can try until you turn blue. And you can try until you die. Until you believe in Jesus Christ, you will never live a life pleasing to God because you do not have the power to live a life worthy to God. And that's what baptism is saying. Brent, you've died. The old Brent, gone. I wish we would rename you. Something like Brenty or something like that. That's kind of cheesy and effeminate, so we won't. But in a sense, Brent has become a new creation. The old Brent, he's gone. The new Brent has come. All things have become new. Because the Holy Spirit has washed filthy Brent. And he has stamped himself upon Brent's heart. And Brent now can live a righteous life. Not a perfect life. Not until you die, Brent. But baptism is for you to live in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And baptism says you can. Baptism says you've died. And baptism says you've been raised so that you can live in newness of life. You have the power now, if you're a born again Christian, to live in a manner worthy that God calls all people to. Because you've died and risen with Jesus Christ. How do we do it? Well, we immerse Brent. What does that mean? That means I'm actually going to plunge Brent into the water and lift him up. And you have no idea how heavy Brent is, so you have to just realize how strong I have to be to lift him up. But we plunge him for one reason. He's going to go into the waters of judgment, metaphorically. And he's going to raise to newness of life. Those waters of judgment he can go down into. Why? Because Christ experienced those. Christ was not baptized into God's judgment. He was crucified. A lot of people think, oh, how gory it must have been to have nails driven through his wrists and his ankles. Oh, no, that's not the wrath of God in full measure. You know what the wrath of God in full measure is? Bearing the sin of his people upon himself. As God turns his holy face and gazes away from his son and forsakes him. As Brent goes into that, he is saying, yes, Christ swallowed up what was due me. God will turn his face away from every single person here who has not been forgiven of their sins. And you say, oh, I don't want that. Kids, you don't want that. I didn't want it. So the command is, repent of your sins. Turn from them and turn to Christ. He bore the penalty for sinners like you and sinners like me. He was baptized. He was plunged, immersed into God's judgment for your sins and for mine. And he was raised to newness of life. that you might now live for God, Brent. So we immerse just to show that. What's the prerequisite? Brent, you're coming up right after this, so get ready. The prerequisite. You say, oh, baptism's a cool thing. I want to get baptized. Well, you're probably not thinking that if you're not a believer. But before you are baptized, you must be born again. The two symbolize. Baptism shows that you've been born again. How are you born again? You must believe that Jesus Christ is God incarnate. And that He came into this world a perfect man. God Almighty came into this world. And at the right time He died for His enemies. He died for people who spat in His face. And who mocked Him. And derided Him. And He died. But on the third day, gloriously risen, ascended to the right hand of God, where He is now ruling and reigning over all things by the word of His power. If you turn from your sins and turn to so awesome a Savior, the Bible says you will be born again. Language of Mark 16:16. It says, here's the promise of the risen Lord. He says this, everybody who believes and is baptized shall be saved. The two are inseparable. You must believe first and then get baptized. But note the warning. He who does not believe shall never see eternal life, shall be condemned. So that's the prerequisite. The reason we're baptizing Brent, why? God, in His mercy, quickened Brent. He resurrected Brent. Brent put his faith in the living Christ. The Spirit came, sealed him. Baptize him, if you will. And now we're showing you. And as a church, we're declaring to you, and Brent is declaring with his lips and with his actions, that he's a new creation in Christ. That's why we baptize. Come on up, Brent. Tell